So, hi everybody, and welcome to the 10th episode of the Language Meanderings podcast. My name is Jonathan, and today I have a special guest. Her name is Maria Torga Garcia. She's from Burgos, Spain. She's an online Spanish teacher, and she has a Spanish as a foreign language certification from the Instituto Cervantes, and she's also an examiner for the DELE. And welcome onto the show, Maria.
Thank you. Hello.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about your teaching background.
Well, I started teaching English and French as a foreign language back in Spain, right when I finished college. So I did that for, I was working in different school of languages and working with groups. For about 4 or 5 years, and then I started traveling, and I started teaching Spanish as a foreign language in schools and school of languages as well.
Cool. And when did you decide to go online?
It was in 2011, and I just decided that I wanted to travel, so I couldn't have both teaching and traveling at the same time. So I decided that maybe I could try and see how, if I could manage teaching online. So it was more an experiment rather than a plan for sure to do that. I was just trying to see if it would work out.
Okay, so did you kind of phase it of offline classes while starting to get online, or did you kind of just jump straight in?
I jumped straight in. I remember I had just one student, a physical student, and I told her that I was going to leave the city, so if she wanted to continue having lessons via Skype, and she agreed to do that. So that was the thing that gave me the idea. I said, well, if I can do this with her, why not with the rest of the world? So
yeah. Awesome.
It was the only one student I had. And then I moved the city. So I jumped straight into online teaching.
Wow. And did you use any kind of teaching platforms, or did you already decide to start a website, or did that come later?
No, I started with the website. I started having the website and having my lessons with this one student via Skype. And in the meantime, because I had so much free time, I started blogging and doing videos and just exploring what other people were doing. So that was the learning period where I could afford to spend time just writing, recording, and experimenting.
So that's now been about 4 years that you've had this online teaching?
4 or 5 years, yeah.
Wow, okay. Congratulations. I remember coming across you on Twitter about like 2 years ago, and just your profile, your website, I think in that case you'd been 2 years into it at that time. So I think I was just like, wow, this is somebody I want to be someday teaching online. And looking at your travel pictures, you seem to be globetrotting around Europe. Of kind of, you were in Ireland, you're from Spain. I think you were in Germany as well.
Yeah, I was living in Germany for about a year or some, a bit less.
Wow. So, and all of that is thanks to the fact that you have an online website where you can teach from anywhere in the world as long as you have an internet connection.
Exactly. So that's my only requirement.
Nice.
Internet connection, reliable.
Okay, that's nice. And what would you say is your kind of your workload in terms of classes and students kind of currently? How are things managing?
Well, right now it's, I am extremely happy. I have, per day, I work only with lessons, doing lessons between 5 and 6 hours per day. I work six days per week. And I am booked for months. So right now I'm extremely happy. I'm quite busy, and I cannot complain.
Well, congratulations on that. That sounds very inspiring for other language teachers. So it is possible that you can start with one student on Skype, and if you put in the hard work and just be creative about it, you can be successful with this. Okay. What would be some of your tips that you would give somebody starting out?
I've been asked this very often because I get emails from people asking, hey, I want to start teaching online, what can I do? And I always say the same things. First of all, it's important to know that it's a lot of hard, unpaid work. That is for sure. But the thing is, the good thing is that if you love teaching and if you're motivated and sure of what you want to do, I would say it's going to work. For me, my tips are be constant. Put yourself out there in any means you can. So it's important to be found. And there are many different channels where we can be found. We can be found. So just be creative. It is good to try to imitate. I think we all have started in the same way. We find some people that we like and we do the same thing. But it is important to create your own kind of personality, because the students are going to pick you because they like you, or they find some affinity, or because teaching is a very personal job. So it is important that they can see your personality through your material, either blogs, if you like to write, either via videos, which I think it is, for me, has been the most important source of traffic. The YouTube videos have been the most important thing. Whatever you do, try to be authentic and show your personality there, because I think that the students want to connect. They don't want a faceless or a very impersonal teacher to work mm-hmm. with. So that would be my tip, and lots of hard work.
Awesome. And for like, in terms of your website, did you go through something like a WordPress, or did you hire a designer, or did you experiment on your own?
I did experiment. So before that, I used to blog. So I like blogging. So I had a personal blog. So I used WordPress because it is quite easy. So you have the templates, and you can choose the colors and the fonts. And it's everything there. There is no need, or it hasn't been a need, to pay for a designer.
Okay.
And I think that's important when you are starting your business, because it's going to be a lot of time where the income is not going to come. So it's important to save and not spend in what is not necessary. And for me, it hasn't been. And I didn't have any knowledge Now I'm more or less familiar. But, when I started, I didn't have any knowledge in technical things, and it worked. So
okay, well, that's a good motivation to see, okay, yeah, with time you can start from zero, you can start from scratch and kind of just acquire the experience on the technical side for the website. And do you think it is necessary as a teacher to have a certification before you start, or is that something you can kind of pick up along the way?
Well, I would say it is important at least to have experience. And I would say that having a qualification, whatever it is, it's related with teaching, it is important, because that gives the students some reassurance, guarantee that at least you know what you are doing, because there are so many teachers or people out there teaching that It is, I think it is important mainly for the student just to prove that at least there is some knowledge.
Training, okay. Yeah, because the marketplace is kind of saturated right now with lots of people who want to start teaching online. If you look, for example, at the Italki website, I mean, they're all certified. They all have experience. So how do you kind of distinguish yourself in that crowd, or gravitate, get your own website, get your own blog, and kind of how do you attract people and like convince them? I mean, it's kind of like you're on an online market of, okay, what is that you have to offer?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I said before, I mentioned the thing about the videos, because with the videos, the student can see at least how the person is expressing and how he's explaining a topic. So that's something that the student can see. Then offering something for free. In my case, I offer always a free trial class, so that the student can see if he or she likes the way you're teaching or your teaching methods, because we are all different and we might like, I don't know, different different ways of doing things. So the student can see if he or she likes you, and you can also see how you can start program the mm-hmm. lessons, how you are going to organize your lessons, and what kind of needs this student has. So I think it works.
So you build rapport. You build rapport in the first trial. And then,
before they even choose you, so they can be more sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And getting a little bit more into your specialization as a teacher, like what are some of the things that you particularly enjoy teaching in for Spanish? Do you like to do test preparation? Because I know you're mm-hmm. as an examiner. Is that something that you like to focus on? Do you like to do general Spanish?
It's difficult to pick. I like everything. So I love teaching. So the exams, the exam preparation is challenging, and only for that I like it. And you also get feedback and results as a teacher. You can see if they pass. Well, I did well. So I enjoy preparing for DELE. I enjoy a little bit less when the student comes saying, I am going to have the exam next month. And it's kind of, oh, okay. You are limited by time. And I prefer when the students give me the time to say, okay, we have this time, and we have more time, and I can decide, well, you are prepared or not. I like more that than the surprise of, I have the exam next month and I have to do everything. But I do enjoy as well the general lessons. I prefer to work with adults more than very young people, mainly because they are very motivated, and I prefer to prepare for speaking rather than grammar. And we always work grammar, but I like to prepare for speaking, make them prepared for the real life. Just go to the country and speak. That's what I like to do. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
So for a first-time language learner, if I just suddenly wanted to take Spanish classes because I saw this interview with you and said, okay, you're an awesome Spanish teacher, what advice would you give somebody just starting a language for the first time? What should they focus on first?
It's difficult for me to say because I think every person is different, and so only for that their needs are going to be different, and their ways of approaching the language is going to be different. But I would say that it's always interesting, or what I advise is just to take it as a game and for fun, like to approach it not as something that is going to be hard or a chore. It's just you are learning a language to have fun, and you have to have fun with it. Even I shouldn't say you have to have fun, but you're going to have fun with it. So play with it. Do whatever you enjoy with the language. If you are a person who enjoys chatting, well, set yourself in front of the mirror and start chatting with yourself. If you like writing, use the foreign language that you are learning to write.
Okay. So you use your interests, use... Yeah, I think I've seen this in my own experience, kind of learning a couple different languages. I also tell this to the students as well, is kind of like, what is it that's interesting to you? Figure out what those topics are, and then look for those same topics online in terms of maybe a Wikipedia article. If you like history, go find a biography of somebody. If you like magazines about something, I don't know, gardening or movies, like go look at those topics in that language and kind of use your interest as kind of like a carrot in front of to kind of keep you moving along. I think you kind of need to get your foot in the door with the language, and your interests is kind of one way to start with that.
Exactly. Music, that is a big one for me. Like, just start listening. If you like music, start listening to songs in Spanish and like look for the lyrics, and that's a very good way. I had some students, teenagers, that just advised them before we started the lessons, I advised them to start playing with this app Duolingo, just to play with it and compete with your friends, just to have pleasure learning. And then we start working on hard things, but yeah, to start, fun.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's an important thing that's kind of developing now with all the technology that's available right now, with like learning apps and like this idea of gamification that's going on with any of the language learning. I think, and these badges and points, and you can compete with your friends or you compete with people online. I think there is that kind of aspect that we don't always have in a classroom environment, where you might have one student who really is excelling, and maybe somebody who's very shy and kind of an introvert, and maybe they don't want to participate too much. But once these people go online, it's a completely different experience. And I think you kind of, people start to show off like what they're able to do, what knowledge they've acquired. And suddenly you realize like, oh, wait, that introvert is like a genius in this language, but they never say a thing in the classroom. And I think you can kind of equal the playing field when you have this kind of gamification, and you go from maybe an exterior motivation, maybe let's say showing off to your friends or to people you don't know, but maybe suddenly you start to go like, oh, I really like this is fun, this is enjoyable, I'm going to keep going with this.
Exactly, it's important. Yeah.
And let's say if let's say if speaking were not such my strong suit, what are some tips that you give people who might be shy or might be kind of self-conscientious about like, okay, I'm making all these mistakes when I'm speaking, or I'm a perfectionist, I need to get all the grammar and the writing before I start speaking. What are some of ideas to help those people?
Well, the thing is, I am a very shy person, so I noticed that my speaking skills when I was learning, let's say English in this case, were not as good just because I wasn't practicing, and speaking in front of people was something difficult. So what I used to do that worked, and that I am telling to my students, is just to talk by yourself. Just talk in front of the mirror. I used to do that even now I talk in front of the mirror. If there is a topic I want to improve, I want to get some more vocabulary and practice, I just go ahead and talk to myself in the mirror.
And do you record yourself while you're doing that, or just the act of?
I do both. Right now I am also moving towards public speaking, so I started recording myself doing that. That would be one advice. Another advice is when you're at home and you are doing things, tell yourself what you are doing. Well, now I am going to take a shower. Okay. Now I am going to brush my teeth. I am preparing food. I'm going to chop some carrots. These just things that you do every day, just relate your daily activities in the language you are learning. It's a problem maybe if you are sharing with someone, that person is going to think that you're a bit crazy.
I think crazy people are some of the more creative ones for language learning. But let's say I've never studied Spanish. Could you teach me, in like 5 minutes, a couple basic expressions? So like, how would I say hello, how are you, nice to meet you?
Well, that's exactly what we do in our first lesson, is hello, you would say hola. And then you want to, obviously, the next thing you always say when you meet someone is, how are you doing, ¿qué tal? So now we have hola, ¿qué tal? And maybe you want to say, you want to answer how you are to that question. Yo estoy bien, I'm fine. We say goodbye, hasta luego. Hasta luego is see you later or see you soon.
Okay, I think that's a good introduction to get a taste of some Spanish. And I'll provide some of these expressions in the notes. And do you have any like a memorized course that you've developed, or do you have any materials like an audio with some basic expressions? Do you have that on your website?
I have a few things where my for my lessons, I am using different materials, and I provide everything to my students because I have few years experience. I have written loads of documents, but in my website that I provide, I put together a book for beginners that is helping. Well, my intention was to use it for students, but it turns out that teachers are also interested in that book because there are not that many materials for Spanish teachers online. Well, there is more and more, but there is still some lack. If you don't want to buy books and when you're starting, maybe you don't want to spend so much money in digital materials. So there are not that many things. So yeah, I found that there are many teachers getting that book. And also I am at the moment, I started in September offering a service, offering daily emails, which contain more or less what I am, they follow the curriculum I am following in my lessons, and they are covering everything that we do in our lessons. But I find that there are many people who don't want to enroll a lesson because they don't have the time, but they still need this idea of immersion, that every day they get some Spanish to do. Even for some students, they find it quite enjoyable, this idea that every day I'm going to have an email with some Spanish content, grammar or vocabulary or videos or audio files. And so they get to work every day in Spanish, and they give this idea of your brain or their brains is in the Spanish kind of mindset every day. And I think that that helps them, so.
Or is that kind of part of a newsletter, or it's kind of a course that's being delivered through email?
It's a course, but it's a whole year. So because it is in a very small size, it is intended to be done in 15 minutes. So I am not taking more than 15 minutes from the person, the person's time. So they receive an email in the morning, if they are in Europe, or in the afternoon, depending the time zone. But they receive the email. It is a course that is intended to be for 1 year, and it would be would take them from A1 to A2, or from A2 plus to B1, B2, or second intermediate kind of. It's a subscription. So they receive an email every day, 15 minutes. They only have to listen to whatever is written there or doing exercises. I am offering the corrections to them so they can, they have contact with me, because I think that's important. So whatever I put out there, if there is some exercises to do, they get to email me the answers and I will check them. And I like to do that so I can see if they are progressing or not. I am also offering 15-minute speaking lessons as part of the course every fortnight. Mm-hmm. And we are doing evaluation tests every 4 months. No, every 3 months, sorry. Every 3 months. And these evaluation tests are corrected by me, and I give the feedback, so I can tell them, well, you need to work a little bit more in your grammar, or there is in your writing, there is a little bit of problems, if there are. So it's like a course, but it is an email that is going to take only 15 minutes of your time.
Oh, interesting. And do you also prepare any, I don't know, on like courses for things like Udemy or Teachable? Have you thought of doing those before?
I am in the making. I am making two, and one is for writing, and another one would be more general for any different Spanish topics. But yeah.
Okay. When do you think those will be ready?
The writing one in less than a month, because I have been working on that one for a while, and I have done some workshops, physical workshops in Dublin, where I am living at the moment. So I have seen what the people need, and I got to test what I am going to deliver in the online course in person first. So I I know it works. So that one would be in about a month.
Okay, well, let us know the link to that course when it becomes ready, and I'll make sure to update the show notes so people can sign up for that course. And so if people would like to get in contact with you and find out more about your Spanish classes, what is your website? How should they get in contact with you?
Well, yeah, my website is the best way to find me, is my whole name. MariaOrtegaGarcia.com and they can see there. It is very clearly to book a free trial class or send me an email, and they are going to find everything there. So,
yeah, I've taken a look at your website, gone through your content, your videos, your blog posts, and yeah, I've almost to the point of like, okay, what does she do there? Okay, I have to copy that. Okay, but she's got a lot of great content, and so if you're looking for a really motivated, dedicated Spanish teacher, Maria's your teacher. You should definitely get in contact with her. She's might be busy right now for the next 3 months, so that's excellent. But you can definitely sign up for this email course, and she'll be in contact to give you some feedback and. So definitely get in contact with her.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So it's been a pleasure talking with you, and I wish you a lot of success with transition. How long have you been living in Dublin now?
For about a year.
Oh, okay. Last I had known, I think you were, I thought you were still in Berlin, but so you keep changing around. But that's the great thing about having an online teaching platform. So
Yes,
excellent.
the
So
best.
definitely, I'm gonna make sure to send you some students your way, and hopefully that's gonna continue to grow. So
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you.
thank you. Yeah, pleasure. Okay, well, so we're going to have to say goodbye for today. And so this, if you would like to schedule an English class with me or find out more about my language Mandarins, you can visit my website at hugginsinternational.com. That's HUGGINS international.com. Or you can send me an email at hugginsinternational@gmail.com. So thank you for listening, and I look forward to the next podcast.